Hey, welcome back. This is Elaine for Rainbows, where every color speaks your story. Welcome to the Open Letter Series, Season 2. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast, this is the anniversary special of the podcast. So I did actually post an advertisement for this one. Tawag ko dito ay Table Talk on Inclusion, and I have a very special guest. Numatawa siya ngayon. Okay, a quick bio on my special guest. Dapat nga hindi special yung term dun eh.
How do you want to call it?
Kasi, diba,
maybe we can talk about, we can reserve that later.
So, ito na, quick bio. She is a regional project coordinator for the Philippines, Indonesia, and Vietnam at Handicap International Federation, an international aid organization working globally alongside persons with disabilities and vulnerable groups. So, addendum to the bio, she currently oversees a project that aims to expand the economic participation of youth with disabilities in Manila, Jakarta, and Ho Chi Minh. So, in 2020, she led a regional project adaptation during the COVID-19 crisis to ensure continued support for youth and their families whose lives have been severely affected by the pandemic. Okay, so lastly, at the same time, she has worked with businesses, companies, and national and local government offices in their action plans towards better and more inclusive service delivery. Podcast ko to, bakit ako kinakabahan? So, my guest, Ms. David, is currently finishing her master's in public administration in the University of the Philippines, Diliman. Yes, so I'm very proud to introduce my special guest. So, let's give a virtual hand clap for Miss Twyla David. Bakit parang natawa ka?
No. Well, thanks for having me, Elaine. Pleasure to be here. It's not traditionally the forum I would use, mm-hmm, or the platform I would use to talk about inclusion. It's the first time I'm in a podcast, to be honest, so I'm also just as nervous as you are. But, you know, any type of platform I can use to amplify the message, mm-hmm, around inclusion, and helping communities become less vulnerable to, you know, especially what we're encountering right now in the COVID-19 pandemic, is a great opportunity for me. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome. Actually, thanks for being part of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Sabi nila perfect combination daw tayo kasi, mm-hmm, both of us are in inclusion. Mm-hmm. Mine would be specifically on gender inclusion.
Right. I am aware of that. You've mentioned that a lot of times. Yep.
So basically, I've been doing podcasting for a year, and if you've listened to the previous episodes, I don't know if
you have listened.
Mm-hmm. So this is the very first time I am introducing someone special in my life. I think it's obvious why you're in the podcast, aside from your specialty in inclusion. I think you also have the specialty in my life. Smooth ba? Segue. So, I think people know me for having spontaneous podcasts. These are unprepared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We call it in art improvisations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as you know, and I think one of the things that drew us together in the first, mm-hmm, place is the polarities of our personalities, right? So you are a proponent of anything that's spontaneous, very natural. And my personality is exact opposite. I would speak in forums and in events where I would have specific talking points. I would, you know, research in advance who I'm talking to. And it, as I said earlier, this is a slightly different perspective. Mm-hmm. I guess I would do my best to share my, mm-hmm, insights in ways that are not boring or too technical. And I understand that you also want this to be more of a dialogue.
than something that is formal.
Yes, exactly.
Hence the term tabletop.
Tabletop, exactly.
And so, it's a podcast. So if you try to listen to other podcasts, they're basically spontaneous. Mm. They would talk about anything under the sun or anything that would be included in a certain topic.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to do some disclaimers before we start?
Sure. Well, just really quick ones. So you did mention earlier that my professional affiliations. So I am part of an international NGO based in France. It's called Handicap International Federation. And I just wanted to approach this with a quick caveat before we start, that all technical inputs that I provide today are in no way associated with my employer. And also, I have co-founded a startup this year. It's called the Equity Collective. Mm. And it's formed by persons with disabilities and members of the LGBTQIA themselves, which means that the technical assistance we provide to our clients are actually aligned with the experiences of those who are typically set aside, no? Who are also persons with disabilities themselves. So I guess I'm mentioning that because professionally I'm also aligned with that organization, with that startup. And while a lot of the discussions that I'm going to provide today are kind of attached to my experience with those professional affiliations, they are in no way contribute. I wouldn't, you know, cite them as a source specifically for everything I'm saying today. So yeah, so they're in, I would kind of detach them from the insights that I provide today. So everything's on my own.
So since you mentioned a while ago you would like to detach.
Yes, so it's
curious lang ako, what was the main motivation on, you did mention that you want to detach, but I'm curious, what would be the main motivation why you started the collective or the Equity Collective?
This year? I think this is something that I can also touch base on later, but I feel that there's still a huge disparity between how, say for example, government offices in the Philippines specifically, because the Equity Collective, that the startup I founded, is still just based here in the Philippines for now, but we are aiming to support organizations, both government and non-government and private institutions, in helping their processes and policies become more inclusive and more open, you know, for persons with disabilities and everyone who's experiencing a certain kind of exclusion or discriminatory practices in their lives. Mm-hmm. And our job in the collective is to make sure that these organizations are more prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a disparity for now, largely because you know, that a lot of the efforts that are ongoing right now, mostly led by government offices. I'm not trying to vilify governments, just to give it give you a heads up.
Patay tayo dyan.
In the end, that's not the point. But I think it's really more of I guess not vilifying them, but really take on the existing structures in place that the government has already set up, like Republic Acts, policies and procedures, and really just taking it to the next step and just really making sure that the policies have solid action plans to make sure that the environments are ready, people are ready, and that your hiring practices are more inclusive.
Marami akong tanong, later. Connected on what you have said previously, pero later na lang.
Sige.
Okay, so let's go first to the light questions. Kasi alam ko magandang pag-usapan to.
Yeah, you kind of jumped ahead there.
Talaga. Kasi nga kung sinabi ko, di ba, podcasts are actually very spontaneous. What comes into our mind, yun na yun. Okay, so basically, ito yung mga first questions. So, how would you define disability? And how does it relate to the concept of social inclusion?
Okay, that's... How much time do you have? I'm just kidding. Because I can talk about this for hours. But like I promised, I'll make this light. But usually I would preface a discussion around disability by how you would perceive it. If you can give me maybe two words. If you think of the word disability, what comes into your mind first? I
want to
ask you first. I mean, and this has always been how we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what maybe if you can give me two words.
Because when you go to the word disability, just the background of linguistics, this and ability.
Yeah.
So two words siya.
Mm-hmm.
A prefix and the main word.
Mm-hmm.
Spontaneous to.
So
ability is capable.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use the word this,
mm-hmm.
meaning not
able.
Capable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, two words na yun. Not capable. All
right. So, someone who's not...
Not capable or not... I'm very careful with the words I'm going to use today, but...
No, sure.
So,
it's okay.
But when you go into linguistics, yun ang ibig sabihin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This, which is a prefix, so not capable.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you're right. So, about... That's actually a very good start because actually when we talk to organizations, even pag bubababa kami sa mga komunidad, pag tinatanong ko yung ganyang question, may mga mas malala pang answers. Like there would be questions around sumpa ka, disability, or limitations.
Did I go too technical?
No, my background is language. It's actually an entirely different perspective. So pag bubababa ka sa komunidad where there are insistence of, I don't know, certain religious beliefs, mm-hmm. for example, sumpa siya. Or meron kang kinulang sa act of faith mo, kaya ang binigay sa iyo as someone who's at subpar from what that society would expect from you as someone you would raise. You mm-hmm. know? Deformity.
Mm-hmm.
Limitations. Someone who's not able. But this is where I'm going to get a little technical. When you do go to the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, they define disability in a different way. Okay? So it's a disability is an evolving concept. So when you define disability, normally, tama ka, yung unang iisipin is the individual itself. So you would define disability based on the impairment. You, for example, Elaine,
mm-hmm.
are experiencing disability right now because mm-hmm. you are wearing glasses.
Yeah.
So you have a bit of an impairment. You're low vision technically in our world. So because you require a specific accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to the actual UN-based definition of the disability, you will not only look at the individual itself. Kasi pag tinitignan mo lang yung individual, it means that you're referring to the solutions will only rely on the individual. Kasalanan ba ng tao?
Hindi.
Na ipanganak siya na may disability? Hindi.
Hindi.
Pero ang responsibilidad, ayon sa UN, ang responsibilidad natin lahat as a society is to also protect the rights of everyone, especially those who are experiencing vulnerabilities or exclusion in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, disability does not only occur on the impairment, but also on the barriers in the environment. So disability occurs between the interaction of the impairment and the barriers that exist in the environment. And we're not just talking about the physical barriers, ha? Like the ramps. We're also talking about a lot of barriers such as attitudinal, policy, and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Even political barriers, you know? So, yan. Pag pinag-uusapan natin ng usapang actually the term PWD is not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about disability rights, pag-uusapan natin 'yan, madalas ang trabaho lang ng gobyerno mag-issue ng PWD ID. Quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But it should go past that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you go to the UN terms, the occurrence of the disability happens if there's an impairment and there's also barriers in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes, and itatawirin ko na dun sa question mo on what it means to ensure the social inclusion of persons with disabilities, for example. So if disability means the impairment plus the barriers in the environment, ano ang aayusin mo? Yung tao o yung environment?
Yung environment.
Exactly. And if there are barriers, what would be the solution?
To find solutions for the barriers.
Exactly. Which means the solution is not the medical approach, but not the charity approach, but it's a social approach.
Mm-hmm.
You find ways to ensure accessibility in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And not just a physical accessibility, ha? It's everything. Digital, social, political, attitudinal, especially. The biggest barriers, in my experience right now, is attitudinal barrier because the stigmas have always been present. And I'm not just talking about persons with disability. I'm talking about gender. I'm talking about women, new parents, for example, in the workplace, are experiencing a lot of barriers and even exclusion in the workplace, in political participation, just because they require specific accommodations that cannot be afforded to them.
Mm-hmm.
Political prisoners, for example, as well. So I guess what I'm saying is, And dami ko nang nasabi. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so just
I mean, gusto kong sabihin eh. Pero,
I'm sorry. I'm going to let you speak for a bit. But I guess what, ang tinatagpo ko lang dito is, if you talk about inclusion, we might have started with a discussion on persons with disabilities, which naturally is my expertise. But when you do start thinking about inclusion, it expands the conversation into other things. It even expands to your personal life. For example, if I'm requiring specific accommodations from you because I'm experiencing anxiety disorders, you can actually afford that to a loved one, to your parents. So I think that's where I'm coming from, politically and personally.
We're on our 15-minute discussion. And
sorry.
I got a lot of insights already from what you've said. Mm-hmm. Ang ganda ng sinabi mo, Miss Toyla, na sabi mo na most of the time we try to fix the person who has a disability. When you come to think of it, hindi na natin pwedeng palitan. And what we can actually change would be the barriers or the environment itself.
Correct.
What came first to my mind would be, tama ka, gender. And most of the time, because that's my expertise, and most of the time, people would actually also, same experience as you, would also change the person. Na parang, bakla ka, try natin siyang palitan na gawin siyang lalaki. Or tomboy siya, try natin siya. Or not to accept the person because we think that's the best solution to him. But not pinpointing na bakit tayo yung kailangan mag-change ng perspective. Kasi most of the time, yun nga yung nagiging solution for everything. Change the person with disability. Change the person who is not like us. Kaya siya tinawag na exclusion. You're excluding everyone who is not like you. So,
exactly.
Maganda siyang pag-usapan later. And maganda siyang insight. Actually, sabi ko nga, it's only been 15 minutes and I like already what you've been saying. And sometimes, babalik tayo sa definition ng disability, they would actually categorize also homosexuality and everything included in homosexuality is as a part of a disability.
I know.
Although
that's,
babalik ako
ridiculous.
Sa term na not capable, siguro, pwede mong i-associate doon na not capable of being normal.
Actually, sinasabi nga nila that normal is the new N-word. Because you really shouldn't say normal anymore. Persons with disabilities actually fall under the realm of what should actually be considered as normalized occurrence. We should be able to normalize providing reasonable accommodations as you would to say, for example, someone who's pregnant. For a lot of the experience that I had in the workplace, for example, and when we help companies become more inclusive, napapansin ko they would exclude women who are pregnant or women or employees who are a bit older and who would require kind of assistive devices from, say, for example, evacuation drills. I'm not sure if this happens in Baguio, but in Manila, for example, when you're in a building and there are evacuation drills, they would usually exclude those who are pregnant or those who might be having motor-related function disabilities from participating in critical disaster management. Intervention. So, pag may lindol, pag may bagyo, hindi na nila alam kung paano mag-evacuate lang talaga yung person with disability, someone who requires accommodation. Or pagdating sa bahay, for example, like I said, I think one of the biggest challenges right now in the disability sector are those with invisible disabilities, those who are not very apparent. So, say, for example, maybe just a complete disclosure. I have lived with an anxiety disorder my entire life. And it has been very difficult for me, for example, to express or disclose it. Because number one, it's very hard to, say for example, articulate my need to request for additional leaves at work. Because I need to attend to my mental health. I need to see a psychiatrist to be able to perform my job. Because my job requires me to do a lot of front-facing activities. And I need to be in front of people all the time. And my anxiety would be a barrier, for example, in me to perform the job that I do very well. I hope I'm speaking well as it is. Or someone who's, for example, experiencing some other forms of intellectual disabilities, for example, like high-functioning ADHD, for example, or anyone who's experiencing a learning disability will not necessarily want to disclose it all the time. Kasi ang hirap nung bago nila ma-ilagay front and center yung skills mo, ang uunahin nilang iisipin para sa iyo would be your disabilities, which is not supposed to be the case. I guess I wanted to go back to your discussion earlier as well na, you know, as it is with government agencies with disability-related mandates, for example, yung Persons with Disability Affairs offices in the LGUs, they generally tend to operate based on the disability prevention framework. So, ibig sabihin, parang yung sinasabi mo kanina, parang, ano kaya, iwasan natin maging bakla o maging tombo yung mga tao? O kaya, iwasan natin maging, iwasan natin pilayan or parang ganon. Essentially, parang it's anchored on the medical approach to disability rather than shifting to the human rights-based approach, which is actually espoused by the UNCRPD, which we ratified as in the Philippines as a commitment. So because of this, our role as a society, we don't have to be involved in a government office, you know, to practice inclusion. It starts with us. It starts in our homes. Acceptance in the home is critical. You need to be able to consult people who are going to be recipients of your help. If you're really coming from the from a perspective of authenticity and honesty and connection, you consult that person. What do you need? If it's a person with disability, that person will be the first advocate for themselves to tell you, okay, this is what I need to do my job. This is what I need to do to become a better lover for you. And a lot of times, this type of consultation and dialogue and really reaching out to certain groups, this is what's lacking in general for us. And I think this is maybe an invitation. Allow me to use your platform to use as an invitation for everyone who's looking to be inclusive in their ways of living, in the ways that they work. You know, don't overlook the voices of people who you're looking to support. Reach out to them, allow them to be advocates for themselves, because otherwise it's going to be just about you and it's not going to be about them. And if it's about you, you're not really helping. Your goal as an inclusion champion is to be obsolete. You want to be out of their lives so they don't have to constantly ask for your help, because that's not a dignified way of living. I guess that's what I'm saying. That parang from a medical perspective, from a charity-based perspective, take your mind away from that and just look at the human rights-based perspective. Karapatan niyang mamuhay ng autonomously, karapatan niyang mabuhay with dignity. And karapatan niya na hindi ka na niya kailanganin. Kasi para mag eventually kasi it's also his or her right to politically and socially participate for you and with you. That's what inclusion is.
Feeling ko may ano ah, may part 2 to. Feeling sorry, ko may sorry. Part 2 to. Nasa pauna pa lang tayo ng ating diskusyon. Feeling ko may part 2 to. Anyway, let me go back to what you said a while ago. Meron akong i-share. Alam mo ba, I can't mention the company. Okay. Anyway, years back, we had, kasi sabi mo kanina, some companies, or not only some companies, some people are not prepared for, for quote-unquote, mga sakuna. Disasters, earthquakes, typhoons, etc. So, quick story lang. Gusto ko malaman kung ano magiging reaction mo dito.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Kasi kanina na-mention mo siya kanina. Okay. We had an earthquake drill. And dun sa earthquake drill, quote-unquote, drill, hindi siya totoo, drill. But we all know that drills are done so that when the real thing happens, we know what to do. Pero what if ito na yung real thing? Ibig sabihin namatay yung taong yun. Okay, ganito yan. Nung nag-earthquake drill, merong isang taong may disability. So, lahat tumakbo palabas sa evacuation area, which is a normal thing, right?
Right.
And then, merong tawag, quote-unquote, nag-evaluate ng earthquake drill namin. Nung nakabalik na lahat ng mga estudyante, sabi ng evaluator, bakit naiwan yung person with disability?
Okay. Okay.
So sabi ng teacher, eh kasi hindi namin alam paano namin siya ilalabas.
Mm-mm.
Eh di ba nag-earthquake na? Alam nga naman.
Oh.
Okay, ang sabi ng evaluator, you should have built a body system to help that person get out of the building. Pero nangyari na, naiwan siya doon. Actually, naiwan siya. Na-realize ko nga, naiwan siya. Pero hindi ko, hindi ako. Pero when you come to think of the situation, what if it happened in real life? Ibig sabihin, namatay na yung taong yun. And going back to your statement a while ago, I would agree that some people are unaware of what to do with these kinds of situations.
Yeah. Definitely. Actually, that's the first thing. That's the first barrier usually for companies and any organization, even families. If you're confronted with the reality that someone in your life needs specific accommodations, it's very normal for people to be a little disclosed with the number of information that's being presented to you. Especially now, na sa disability sector din naman, medyo hindi pa organized masyado yung information namin to allow people to be inclusive. And that's normal. That's okay. Because, you know, the first question that's usually asked is, where do we start? And it doesn't help sometimes that, you know, a lot of disability actors in the Philippines, a lot of social welfare mechanisms in the Philippines are working in ways that are so dissipated. Hindi magkaisa, for example, on the definition of disability, hindi magkaisa on what interventions can work. But I think that's also something that can bring us together as champions of inclusion. It's a very straightforward way to be inclusive is to start from where you're comfortable. You don't have to do a complete overhaul of your systems to be inclusive. There is an existing Batas Pambansa, actually, BP 344, which focuses on accessibility. But even if you read that alone, it only focuses on physical impairments. It doesn't focus on, for example, sensory. Exactly. So parang ang iniisip tuloy ng mga tao, for me to be inclusive, kailangan ba may ramp sa bahay?
Uh-huh.
Or which is kailangan naman talaga nasa batas yun, by the way. Uh-huh. baka sabihin nila. Pero you don't have to, like I said, you don't have to start from absolute scratch. There are already systems in the ways you operate that can allow you to become a better employer, better organization, and a better person. The first thing you always need to do is to determine, okay, sino ba sa mga and this is not just for persons with disabilities. I think it's just I think this is where inclusion starts, no? Just being mindful and just having that recognition of the diversity of the human condition. So and stop thinking that, you know, individuals, groups are homogenous, you know, entities na parang dapat pare-pareho lahat. Each person actually will require specific accommodations. It doesn't only happen in, I don't know, in building evacuation drills. It happens even in simple things such as inviting someone for lunch. If you already feel that someone is not participating in social activities in your office, which is very important in an office environment, try to understand why is this person not involved. Bakit hindi siya nasasama sa town hall? Bakit hindi siya sumasama sa mga meetings? Bakit siya laging late? And you try to understand first. You do not assume that this person is not able to perform his or her duties right away. It always starts with a dialogue. And allow that person to state and create a safe environment for that person to disclose what accommodations they need. Eh, diba, Elaine, it's also something that we work on as a couple. It should always be ensuring that both of us would create a safe space for each other to allow ourselves to articulate what we need so that we set ourselves up for success, both for the recipient and for the giver of the intervention or the help. So it starts with a dialogue. It starts with good communication and creating healthy open spaces for everyone.
Quote-unquote, good communication.
Good.
Yeah. Iting forte natin yun. Looking at your bio.
It's your forte.
Development communication and language. Forte natin ng
ang communication eh.
I hope so.
Hindi ko magpa-part 2 talaga to.
But there is something I really wanted to highlight, no? Mm-hmm. In this discussion, there is this and this is something that's always been resonated in the work that I do. Mm-hmm. There's this catchphrase. It's called "Nothing about us without us." Sabi niya. So
paulit.
Nothing about us without us. Exactly what it says is anyway that phrase. It's a protest chant actually that happened in the 1980s. So it was traced to South African disability rights advocates by James. I'm not sure if you know him, but his name is James Charlton. He has a book with the same title, and he describes those words were described as a phrase that was used by the disability rights movement,
mm-hmm.
and how these words have been used to demand the inclusion and full participation of persons with disabilities in policies, mm-hmm. and decision-making practices that affect their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, if you really want to get started on the conversation around inclusion in your personal and professional life, don't make it about you. Mm-hmm. Nothing about us without us. Mm-hmm. Ask them first. Mm-hmm. Have a dialogue, and you start from there. Mm-hmm. And you work alongside them. You don't work independently of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ang ganda nung phrase, pero before we go dig deeper dun, mm-hmm. sa term na inclusion, kasi nilalim na natin dun sa term na inclusion.
Really?
Pero hindi pa na-define exactly. Okay. Yun maganda pag-usapan.
What inclusion
is? So yeah, I'll turn the tables, kasi you asked me to define a while ago disability. Mm-hmm. Kung ako, tanungin kita, how would you define inclusion?
Well, I can define it in 4 ways.
Grabe. Simple. Yeah, kasi isang word lang.
No.
Okay, go.
But, no, because this is espoused in my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say it. And it's crucial that these 4 things need to be achieved if you want to talk about inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm setting my foot down because you know how stubborn I am. So when we talk about, very simple, no more than 5 minutes, I promise. Just 4 words. So there are 4 fundamental principles of inclusion, and we have to be mindful of this. The first one, I keep saying this over and over, participation. Allow them to participate. Involve anyone who's concerned in the design, in the implementation, in whatever help you want to provide to someone who needs help. Involve them. Alam mo yun, hindi ka charity.
Mm-hmm.
Alam mo yun, hindi tayo nanggagaling sa mas mataas na position. You have to be at the same level as them. Involve them. Number 2, don't discriminate them. If you find systems in your work environment, in your immediate environment, even in your family, that systematically discriminates or excludes that person, and does not allow them to be viewed in the same level as everyone else, call them out if you can. But I'm sure you can. You can. So participation, non-discrimination, accessibility.
Uh-huh.
I think this is where I was highlighting earlier that mm-hmm. you have to create a safe space for everyone. It is accessibility is the degree to which an environment, an attitude, a product or a service would be made available to the greatest number of people possible, persons with disability or not. And the last one is protection. Protection is very important. Kasi sasabihin mo, and this is very important in the work that I do in the humanitarian world, protection ensures na whatever you do, especially kung medyo vulnerable tong situation ng tao, hindi siya magka-create ng what we call in the policy world externalities. Sorry. Essentially, pag kuwari magbibigay ka ng ayuda, tapos magbibigay ka ng ayuda, tapos bubugin din naman siya ng asawa niya because of that ayuda. That's called an externality. Essentially, you're subconsciously create. You did not mean to, but you have created harm for this person. So you just really apply a do no harm principle to this person at all times. Na parang mag-plan A ka, plan B, plan C. Whatever it is that I'm doing for this person, hindi pa talaga siya mailalagay sa harm's way. Especially if you're talking to someone who is experiencing vulnerability in her life, his or her life. So those 4 things. protection, accessibility, non-discrimination, and
privacy. Mahilig ako sa ano, sa mnemonics or acronyms.
Oh my God.
So meron na tayong PIPA.
You can try.
PIPA.
That doesn't sound very professional.
Ulitin ko, I was actually listening to you. So
okay.
Ito yung proof ng listening skills
okay.
ko sa'yo. Participation, PIPA, di ba? Involvement. Actually, involvement, sinama ko yung not discriminating.
Non-discrimination.
Involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Kaya PIPA, protection, minove ko lang siya.
So
and then, accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nakinig ako.
Yeah.
Okay, PIPA. Pero I do acronyms, I do mnemonics para madali siyang tandaan.
Mm-hmm.
PIPA.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, well, ako kasi noon, ang quote-unquote definition ko ng inclusion would be belongingness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, if you belong to the society, if you belong to the society, then definitely you should not be discriminated.
Mm-hmm.
If you belong to the society, therefore, you should participate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you belong to the society, therefore, you should get access. And if you belong to the society, therefore, you get protection.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, pinaganda mo lang. Joke lang. I like
thank
your acronym.
You.
PIPA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, PIPA. Pero sa akin, belongingness. As simple as that. Pero, having said, or having, we discussed a while ago the barriers, so can we say that there is no inclusion? Yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yet.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. We're working hard as a society to do that. I mean, I'm not saying that...
Do you think it's attainable?
Full inclusion? It will take time. I think it is. It can be. It's starting now. Like I said, it will be...
In your perception, it
in
is?
In my perception, it can be. It can be attained. Considering that disability is actually an evolving concept, like
mm-hmm.
as I mentioned earlier. So, like for example, and I think the it will never stop. It can be attained,
mm-hmm.
but I think it will always evolve. For example, can I just go back to a little, just maybe provide an example to concepts that are proximate to me.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the future of work. That's, you know, we live in times right now where, you know, work from home tayo.
Okay nga tayo magkasama.
Exactly.
Kasi
yeah,
work from
yeah.
home tayo.
Yung idea ng future of work is that, okay, matagal lang sinusulong ng disability sector na mag-work from home yung mga may mobility impairments, for example. Na parang ang weird lang na ngayon lang napakinggan yung
possible pala,
yung,
no?
Exactly. It has it is possible to provide accommodations to someone who needs to work from home. Of course, not all sector can afford that. For example, yung food and beverage industry cannot possibly work from home, but apparently it can be possible, no, to be able to be productive even if you're pre-faced with certain mobility or face-to-face challenges. I guess what I'm saying is it will always evolve.
Mm-hmm.
The needs, the problems will also evolve. So now that we're confronted with challenges from the quarantine restrictions and the implications of COVID-19, the income losses, the economic and labor market shocks that came along with the COVID-19 pandemic, the needs have changed, not only for persons with disabilities, but vulnerable groups. And so will your solutions.
Mm-mm.
And that's a problem with a lot of the policies that and even the laws that we have right now. They've started out very, very strong, pero walang pangil madalas. Kasi it doesn't involve the solutions that do not involve so much in the to the needs. And as long as you make laws and you make policies that do not actively seek out the communities, the very communities you want to serve, you will never arrive at solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that also happens in the personal lives, in your personal lives. For example, in your families or in the workplace, for example, the private sector is actually, surprisingly, isa sa mga pinakamalaking kampi ng vulnerable communities would be the private sector, especially in the world of work. Mabilis silang makinig kasi meron silang resources to adapt. No?
So, sana mag-comment
solutions.
Pero baka mamaya bagalin ako. Joke.
Oh, sorry.
Kasi we're talking of private sector. So,
that's true. That's
ang opposite
true.
Ng private sector, ay!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wag na. Sige.
Yeah, I wanna keep you in my life for this.
Nakakatakot
yeah.
eh.
But yeah, I think, no, it's I mean, the this dialogue naman is
pero
not
why do you
to,
think
mm-hmm.
na mas open ang private
mm-hmm.
sectors to changes compared to
To governments. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Bakit kaya? What could be the reason?
I would say a number of reasons. But number one is because the public. Okay, I'm just gonna go to the policy discussion a little bit here. But the private sector is number. Syempre sila yung may resources. A lot of private, a lot of companies, for example, are already implementing a lot of D&I. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about that phrase, like diversity and inclusion mm-hmm. initiatives in the workplace? Where, for example, companies such, I'm not mentioning companies here because they're very public naman in their, mm-hmm. their support. Like companies such as Accenture, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, who are also partners to our projects, by the way. they've been very public. In fact, they've actually taken the next step. They've taken lengths to actually prove that disability inclusion in the workplace or overall social inclusion in the workplace can actually allow their companies to increase the bottom line. And for example, if you are an organization that supports diversity and inclusion, it allows for your organization to have better products. An example of that would be, I'm not sure if you watch Netflix, right? And you
with you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So Netflix and what else? YouTube would actually have improved their closed captioning mm-hmm. systems because of their interactions with their employees who are deaf.
Oh, nga.
There are companies such as KitchenAid and Kitchen Supplies, for example, who have improved their products because they have interacted with clients and customers that have dexterity problems. Mm-hmm. So they have produced better kitchen appliances, not only for their customers with dexterity or physical impairments, but for everyone. Nike has launched a product that's alam mo yun, may add sila na parang yung no-tie shoes.
Uh-oh.
And they're initially designed for persons who have cerebral palsy, and now it's being used to athletic competitions everywhere. So there's an inherent push from the private sector because there are gains from it. It improves their bottom line as companies as compared to, say, for example, governments.
PR din ng isang
exactly.
public relations of a certain private company.
Whereas yung government kasi traditionally, the sector unfortunately has been used for... PR din, yeah, but...
Babang o yung company. Aside from that, of course, ang babaw naman kung PR exactly. lang. But, no, but that's one.
That's what I'm saying, that the companies have taken certain lengths to take the discussion out of their corporate social responsibility discussions and really take into account how it improves their company. As compared to, say, for example, governments na naka-attach, naka-angkla sa batas yung initiatives, it might take longer for them. Okay, so I guess I wanted to wrap this up real quick because I did promise you that I was not going to be too technical. I did my best with the discussion. But I guess I stopped from the delineation, right, between the private and the public sectors. But I guess what I really wanted to say is no matter what sector you belong in, or whatever your objective is in achieving inclusion, even if it's coming from a personal initiative, in implementing action points or policies related to matters such as disability or helping a loved one with unique needs, there can be so much to be gained with very little if there is a recognition of the diversity of the human condition. We are not passive, docile, mm-hmm. Homogeneous individuals. We don't have an umbrella approach of what we need as individuals. Alam ko proponent ka niyan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we're in rainbows. and I guess what I do want to highlight, and if there is an acceptance of this shift from seeing disability mm-hmm. as a medical problem or a pity mm-hmm. project, we're not people to put in a pedestal. We're not your inspiration, We're also not your pity project.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, think of us as active participants in the community. Think of us as people who actually deserve access to mainstream social activities such as employment, rights, voting, political participation. Then that's where we really start the discussion around inclusion. It's really anchored on the belief that us persons with disabilities, us who are experiencing vulnerabilities and long-term neglect and abuse in our lives, we can be civil society representatives ourselves. And no matter what our barriers are, we will always have to play a central role in ensuring that our rights are translated into concrete measures that effectively improve our lives. And we have to participate in those measures. And before you make decisions about us, you have to consult us first. That's it. That's all I have to say about inclusion.
Sigurado.
And I hope this helps. Thanks for allowing me to say this in your platform.
You're welcome. Anyway, lagi kong sinasabi, sana may part 2. Feeling ko meron. Ang reason behind it, the rationality behind it is, we discussed only the portion of disability.
Mm.
Pero pag sinabi mo kasing inclusion, malawak siya.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not only about terms, it's not only about definitions, malalim na usapan siya.
Mm-hmm.
Pero sabi ko nga, table talk. And pag sinabi natin malawak, it would include gender inclusion, disability inclusion, age inclusion,
mm-hmm.
political inclusion, ang dami.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pero ang napag-usapan natin today was more on the disability mm-hmm. inclusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And sabi mo kanina, you wanted to sum it up.
That was what I really wanted to say.
Yeah, so when I think of the things that transpired in this discussion today, ang highlight of it for me would be yung nung minention mo yung term na barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when we think of barriers, what we tend to change would be the person himself or herself, without thinking of perceptions, without thinking of the environment, without thinking of the society. Kasi iniisip natin, we become egotistic most of the time, and iniisip natin most of the time na hindi siya ang kailangan palitan kasi hindi siya like us. Hence the term that you have mentioned, nothing about you. Quote and quote, nothing about you. And sometimes kasi we always think na, oh, it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, what has to be changed is the person or anything related to the person. And in fact, ang pwede natin palitan would be our attitude,
mm-hmm.
our perception, the society, the environment, etc. Mm-hmm.
And sorry, let me just correct that. Of course, we also have to support the person itself.
Mm-hmm.
Parang hindi naman natin tatanggalin yung medical mm-hmm. or individual approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that as a society, we also need, it's our responsibility to also make sure that this person can access the services that are available in his or her immediate mm-hmm. environment, independently, eventually, of us. So you're right, it's the individual plus the environment that we need to change.
Yeah. So bago ako mag-end ng ating discussion, so mag-thank you for accepting the invitation.
You're welcome.
Dalawang isip nga ako kung tatanggapin mo siya or hindi.
Mm-hmm.
Pero alam ko tatanggapin mo. Hi, bye.
Mm-hmm.
In the linguistic point of view, mabigat kasi pag sinabi mong change.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, when we say change, I want the society to change. I want you to change. I want the relationship to change. Ang initial reaction natin would be a defense mechanism na mm-hmm. bakit ko kailangan magbago? Well, in fact, okay na ako on mm-hmm. what is. Kaya nagiging hesitant ang tao sa word na change. And linguistically speaking, yun yung naging connotation dun sa term na change. And I asked you a while ago if change is attainable, sabi mo, yes. Kasi, in fact, ang kadugtong lang naman ng change is our attitude, our perception,
mm-hmm.
our determination to change. So, to end this podcast, at the end of the day, if we would try to reflect on inclusion, is inclusion possible? Di ba tinanong ko sa'yo? So, ako naman sasagot. I think it is.
A strong and resounding yes.
Especially, yes. Yung sa'yo, disability inclusion sa akin, gender inclusion.
Mm.
Is there a possibility for inclusion in terms of gender and of course disability, both mm-hmm. of our advocacies?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if and only perceptions change,
environments would change, societal views would change. Tama?
Absolutely.
So this ends our episode. Thank you for everyone who joined this podcast.